Thanks for joining us for another Joy Valley podcast. Joy Valley is having conversations with Christian ministries in Kansas City that are focused on trauma and emotional healing. In this podcast, you will discover the many Christian ministries that have partnered with Jesus to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim freedom for those who are captive in Kansas City. Have you heard of the Trauma Healing Center in Kansas City? In this interview with founder Melissa Finger, we look at how this strategic ministry is positioned to be an incredible connecting resource for both those who have need and for those who are helping others. Here's my conversation with Melissa Finger. Well, today I'm here with Melissa Finger, who's the founder of the Trauma Healing Center in Kansas City.
Yay.
And I'm so excited just to get to know more about the Trauma Healing Center and what it's all about. So can you share just a brief synopsis, what the Trauma Healing Center is and what it is doing here in Kansas City?
Absolutely. Thank you, Nathan. I am super excited to do the podcast with you because I know that you're bringing a lot of awareness to the Kansas City and the healing community, and that's what we need, and actually kind of ties in with our mission and with what we're doing a little bit. We kind of have three branches, if you will, of what we do here. One is to assist individuals specifically who are healing from trauma. We do that through trainings and support groups. We don't do one-on-one counseling here, but we offer kind of a variety of other services to help build resilience and to help people just heal, know the tools to heal, and especially to connect with other organizations in the community, because it's definitely a process when you go through a healing journey. The second branch that we have is partnering with other agencies in the community. Everyone is working really hard to bring healing, and there's a lot of healing needed in Kansas City. And so we want to partner and help other agencies as we can, then also provide support specifically to community caregivers. And that's a term that's important. So I'll say it a lot, so I'll define it right here. But our community caregivers, when we say that, we mean the people that are caregivers to our community. So counselors, pastors, first responders, the medical professionals, teachers, those people that really care and help us grow and develop, provide safety and healing. We want to connect with those people one-on-one because there's so much burnout.
Yes.
And there's lack of connection and community. And so we want to be able to help provide that need. And so individuals, as well as agencies, and then the individual community caregivers.
So the agencies would be like other ministries then?
Exactly. Ministries, but it may not necessarily have a religious affiliation, so not necessarily a ministry. Outside of that, it could be a fire department, or it could be a school.
Okay.
Or just any organization that's established to help the community.
So you're working with the individuals, you're working with agencies, which could be, you know, religious or non-religious, you know, organizations, and then you're also working with individual caregivers. So succinct. Very good.
Seems simple right there, right?
Yeah. It gets complicated.
It does.
So why did you start the Trauma Healing Center?
Well, I really saw the need for it, first off, in the lack of connection between the agencies in our community. I've been a counselor here in the Kansas City area for well over a decade. And, you know, when we have people that come in that need support, they often need more than just a counselor. They may need life skills training or a support group or some kind of community. And what I found is that organizations have a connection of about a half a dozen other organizations, and that's it.
Yeah.
And if you can't find what you need for the population you're serving in that handful of agencies, then they're just, you just kind of have to make do or try to fill in the gap yourself as a counselor. And that's too much. And I don't feel like that's how God designed the body of Christ. We all have our role, right? We all have our calling.
Right.
And so I was thinking, we have dozens, I would say hundreds of organizations all over the Kansas City area that provide different things and that are good at what they do. What if an organization could have more than just half a dozen resources? What if they could have dozens of reliable, credible resources? And then when you have somebody come to you, you can connect them up with a full healing plan with all the different things.
Yes.
And so it was kind of from that place that the Trauma Healing Center idea was born 4 years ago, I think.
So you say that you've worked in the counseling aspect of this for quite a while, right? What's kind of some of your backstory of how did you get into this? Because I know that there's, you know, people go through things in order to get to these fronts.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. It's kind of interesting. I had always felt since I was very young, like I wanted to work with abused children,
yes.
kids who had gone through really hard things and help them heal and grow. And so when I started into my degree out of high school, I did a psychology degree. I did children, working with children. And it didn't take too far down that path for me to realize this is not like, I feel like this is what God has called me to do, but it's not really working like it should.
Okay.
And so I changed my degree to marriage and family. And so that's what I did for my, I have psychology for a bachelor's degree and then marriage and family for my master's degree. And I did a family systems approach, which includes the kids and the process.
Yes.
But, you know, the Lord just does twists and turns all along the way.
Yes.
And how he sees things is very different than how we do. And as I graduated and started to apply my credentials and use my degree, God just brought dissociation to me from everywhere. And that's not something you're not really taught about dissociation or dissociative identity disorder when you're in grad school, even though it is a diagnosis. But God taught me. God taught me by bringing people to me and wrapped it around to that initial calling that I felt because I do work with abused kids. They're just in adult bodies.
Yeah. That is
and
very
so,
true to that.
Yeah. That's how I kind of got here. And then God just has expanded that to trauma. More than just with dissociation.
So what is dissociation?
Dissociation happens anytime that we are very overwhelmed with something that's happening to us. It's on a spectrum. So a low end of dissociation, we kind of all do. An example of that would be driving home from work and you get home and you don't remember the drive.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, I hope I didn't run any red lights.
Yeah.
Your mind was busy. You were overwhelmed with thoughts of the day. You were processing. Your body was on autopilot.
Yeah.
So that's common dissociation that God gave us to help us manage overwhelm and do more than one thing. When you are a child and when you have overwhelming trauma, that trauma separates out into compartments. That child is just naturally wired to dissociate that trauma into a space, into their brain. So because they can't handle it, it's too much for them.
Yes.
And when that happens repeatedly, or if it's super intense, frequency and intensity have to do with dissociation, they can develop dissociative identity disorder.
Oh, wow.
I'm not a professional licensed counselor, so I do not diagnose that, which is very important to mention legally. However, that's how the disorder develops. And then that too is on a spectrum where you can have a high level of dissociation or kind of a mid-range that may not be a DID diagnosis.
So these people were starting to come to you. That's what you're saying. And like these different people. And so you had to come up with a different approach to address, wow, we've got some wounded people, you know?
Yep, exactly.
Like
right.
You said, you know?
And a whole different level. And you don't, there's not training for that like there should be. There is training, but it's hard to find. And there's a lot of different perspectives.
So then this helped you realize the need for something to bring the different organizations together to tackle this very large, seemingly this would be like one of the obvious problems that would show up, you know, for these individuals. So
for sure. And when you have complex trauma, whether or not you have dissociation, you need more than a counselor.
Yes.
You need support groups. You need community, which can feel impossible with complex trauma. You need life skills.
Yes.
There's just a lot of things that you need. And finding a counselor is not going to do that.
Right.
You need more than that. But the counselor that you do find needs to know where those other things exist so that they can connect you up. And that's where we want to help.
Can you tell me a little bit about if a person was to approach you with a personal problem, approach the Trauma Healing Center, kind of what is the process?
Absolutely. So like I mentioned, at the Trauma Healing Center, we don't do one-on-one counseling, but what we do offer are free personal assessments.
Awesome.
Yes. So if someone comes to the organization or calls us and says, hey, I'm struggling with this, or I just had this happen, do you do counseling?
Yes.
Nope. But we will help you find someone who does. And so what that entails is they will go onto our website and fill out just a really short form, give us some basic information about themselves. And then one of our trained professionals will call them back and just do about an hour, hour and a half assessment. Those can be done over the phone or in person. And then we provide them what we call a community-based treatment plan. And so it's not just a treatment plan through one counselor, but it's for the community. So we can give them a list of a couple counselors that may be available, support groups if we are aware of them in the area, ways to connect with the community that fit their unique situation, and provide them a way that they can explore options and take advantage of all of the resources that we have here.
So you're kind of like just trying to put things into perspective here. because it is kind of complicated, but it's really not. You know, you're kind of the middle person that, that kind of helps and understands, you know, these are your problems that you're dealing with, and these are the different approaches that you might have to take, and here are some of the organizations that would be helpful to you.
Exactly. And one of the things that is important to us is we're not just a resource center. We're not just a database. We don't want to say, hey, this is your problem. Okay, I heard about this guy over in Overland Park that's supposed to be really good. We want to say, oh my gosh, I know exactly what you're going through. I just had coffee with this guy in Overland Park. I know him personally, and he can help you. And so we want to build relationship with our community caregivers so that we're not, you know, just Google. You can Google marriage counselors and you're going to get quite the list.
Yes.
But we want to say we know these people. We have a relationship with this person. We know their approach. We know their personality. It might match your personality, and try to make it a little more personal and tailored to the person's issue so that there's some credibility there and not just that scariness of what am I going to get?
Awesome. So how does the trauma healing center engage with other agencies?
We love to engage with other agencies. It's typically through introductions. People will hear of us or they'll call us. Honestly, a lot has happened through God just orchestrating random meetings. And that happens a lot with Stephanie Hinman, who's our program director, where she just meets people. And then about 30 minutes later, you're like, oh, this must have been a God appointment because I'm finding out so many things. And so agencies want to know what we do, how we can support them, how they can support us. And so we'll go in once we make that connection and talk with somebody who works there. Maybe it's a manager or supervisor or just a staff person, and provide them with some literature, some things that we do. And then if they need trauma training, then we're happy to come in and support them by offering free trauma training for their staff. A lot of counselors are provided that, but research shows that a lot of counselors, most counselors actually, I think the stat was 81% of counselors want more training in trauma.
Yeah.
They just, it's a big issue. And a lot of our training as counselors is coping skills. It's how to manage the symptoms of trauma. But healing trauma is just a little bit different process. And so we want to provide that if we can. But then also to first responders, nurses, caregivers of other nature outside of counseling. You know, they need to know what to do when somebody comes in and they're traumatized and they don't have a counseling background.
Wow, yeah.
And so how do I connect with them? How can I help them calm or de-escalate and then get them connected to resources? So we can go in and train their staff to say, this is how you can respond to people in a trauma-informed way.
So you work with agencies and then community caregivers, individuals, and you're offering from the Trauma Healing Center a training on how to work with these things. And also you understand some of the processes that go in with different individuals. So
exactly. And one of the other things that we'll offer, we really want to be a resource bank for a lot of these helping agencies.
Yes.
So we have people contact us that will say, hey, do you have a handout on this topic? Do you have a handout on building resiliency that we could give to our clients? If we don't, we'll make one. Stephanie's written several books on resiliency, so she's great at making those handouts. We had a camp that contacted us and said, hey, we need a training manual that we can give to new staff members so they know how to deal with our kiddos coming in that have trauma. So it's like, okay, we'll put a training program together for you. Yeah. We record training videos so that we can get videos in the hand of people and say, hey, show this to your staff. Here's a handout that goes with the video. And so we want to be able to provide resources. We don't want to reinvent the wheel.
No.
So if we know of a resource that already exists, that's going to be our first go-to is, okay, you need this resource. Check out this website. This is a great organization. They've got the resource you need. But if we can't find that resource somewhere, then we'll do the best we can to create it.
That's so good. And oftentimes, even though they might produce like a resource, like a video or something, they might not have a handout.
Right.
And you kind of need the handout, you know, mm-hmm. you kind of need the extra, you know,
yeah.
here's something that you can give to every one of your camp counselors this year.
Exactly. They can post it up somewhere, take it in your car, whatever.
Here's the three things of dealing with individuals at our camp. Do this first, do this second, and then contact the
call help.
Supervisor.
Right. Exactly, you know? Right. Exactly. When all else fails.
Right. Well, that makes a lot of sense, you know? So when you're working with individual community caregivers, what are some of the services that Trauma Healing Center offers to individual community caregivers?
Yeah, working with individual community caregivers is a little bit different than the Health Being Agency where you're dealing with the whole staff. There is, as we've mentioned, a lot of burnout with community caregivers when you deal with a lot of trauma. It can be hard to know how to process that, how to leave a traumatic situation and be able to walk back into your life and not carry everything with you. And so we do offer support consultations. If a counselor or a first responder or a medical professional is looking for help in, you know, what do I do in this situation? How do I help this client or how do I process my own overwhelm? We can offer those consultations to them to say, here's a few tips for you, or here's a few things that you can do to help do some self-care for yourself. We also want to provide connection within the communities. As we work together and as we connect with each other, we can be stronger and we can be better. And so when we have, you know, a counselor that's needing something and maybe I'm not the person that can relate to their issue or help them, but I know another counselor who could, we can pair them up and say, hey, how about if the three of us get together for coffee, we make an introduction and see if you guys can strengthen each other. And so building those relationship between the caregivers is also really important. We also want to offer just a place here in our space. When we opened this building in June, just a couple months ago, it's a community and training center. And so the community part of it is people can come here and network. We're open twice a week where people can just come and just be in the space. We have a whole section of professional and clinical books. So if someone wants to come and do treatment planning or finish their notes, they can make themselves a coffee, settle in, grab a book, and just have a quiet, peaceful place to do that. Yeah, when I do I've written several books, and when I write books, it's hard for me to do that at my home. It's hard for me to do that at my office. It's all distracting. I will go to a neutral place, the library or a coffee shop, where I don't have distractions, and then I can do writing. And so we want to be a neutral place for these community caregivers, where if you've got something you really need to focus on, or maybe you don't want to focus at all, come, just hang out, walk the garden, whatever, and take a little bit of a break.
All right. So just to kind of a recap here. Mm-hmm. So on the individual level, when you're working with an individual, they're coming to you and then you're helping provide them the resources that they need to, you know, to go to. And then on an agency and also a caregiver level, you're offering training to how to identify these things. And then to the individual caregivers, you're offering resources to help them deal with the burnout and the trauma of what they're going through.
Exactly. Our philosophy is really that if we strengthen all the caregivers, we can do exponentially more as a community.
Yes, yes.
Because we could establish a trauma healing center where we, you know, meet with people one-on-one and we could help 50 people a week, maybe, and that would be great for those 50 right. people. Or we can help the community caregivers. And if we were able to assist 50 community caregivers in a week, they would be able to assist so many more. Yeah. And then we're talking multiplication of healing and multiplication of services that are being provided. And so that's really where we want to focus, is just strengthening our community and bringing connection.
Yeah, there's some just to provide some clarity, you know, if you're a pastor, you know, you have to have a pastor's retreat every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And you get with other pastors and you have a pastor conference because right. you look at the other pastors like, you understand what I'm going through.
Exactly.
And then also, you know, in the military, you know, in the military, when somebody goes to war, you know, they, mm-hmm. they experience trauma, and sometimes that can result in PTSD or mm-hmm. what, you know, all of these things. And these trauma healing caregivers, they're experiencing the same thing, but yeah. they don't maybe have you're providing that resource that they need to help, you know. The military provides a lot of resources for this.
Right.
And so, like, what are we providing for the frontline caregivers? That's exactly. what you're saying. And that's part of the Trauma Healing Center is trying to bridge that gap.
Exactly right. I heard a stat once that for people that work with complex trauma, they can go about 5 to 7 years before they hit burnout. And that is not very long. And so we would love to extend that and, you know, help people go for a couple of decades working with trauma because they're able to avoid the burnout.
Right. You know, I was wondering if it wouldn't be good to kind of help set them, you know, even on like a Sabbath year or something like that, a rest year, you need to go, you know, 8 years, then you have to have a rest year. You need to go recuperate and then come back.
Right.
You know, it's because like we have to do life in seasons sometimes.
We do. So that kind of goes to another point of changing the mindset of our community a little bit. We do tend to have the mindset of one person fixes things. And it's hard for people. And I understand because especially when you have a lot of trauma, you invest in your counselor. You invest by trusting them. You invest by the time it takes to tell your story. You invest in so many ways in that person. And it can feel overwhelming to think of, you know, I don't want to go to a healing prayer person. I'm already seeing a counselor. I'll have to tell my story again. You know, I don't want to do this because then I have to start over. And so people kind of get in the mindset of just staying in this one little spot for their healing. And I understand the complexity of that for someone and how that can feel overwhelming. But the reality is very often healing happens in community. Wow. And it happens with more than one person. And so we really want to normalize this idea of I have a counselor that I meet with every week. I have a prayer team that I go and they pray with me once a month. And I have a support group that I go to. And I, you know, have a church that I attend and community. More than one resource brings healing on multiple levels.
Yes.
Instead of just what that counselor can do in that 50 minutes. And as we normalize that, then I feel like people will be able to take advantage of the community. And it will also just, you know, diversify that healing for that person in so many different ways.
That's so good. Yeah. So one of the services that Trauma Healing Center provides is crisis response. What are you getting at when you say crisis response?
Sure. I'd love to answer that question. Crisis response is something that is really heavy on the heart of both Stephanie and myself. A crisis can happen at any moment, whether that is a natural disaster or an act of violence or whatever it might be. And you often see the community just kind of raise up to help in those instances, which is great. But often there are gaps and there's areas, one of them is burnout for the providers for the caregivers, right? There are areas and gaps where we want to be able to fill in and just support if needed. We were kind of surprised at our first crisis response effort. It came unexpectedly, I suppose, as most crises do. And it was last June when a pastor in the area died very suddenly.
Wow.
And Stephanie and I hadn't really launched our crisis response program yet, but we were like, well, we both knew this man and we were both very connected to the church. And we're like, let's just do it. And so we got on the phone. We called counselors that we know through the different helping agencies we work with. Within an hour, we had more than 20 counselors from 6 different agencies that were available to be on call if
That's
needed
incredible.
For the staff of the church and wow. any of the attendees that might need support. And then Stephanie and myself provided support to the staff and at the next upcoming services that the church held to just be available to people who might need prayer. And so that was a crisis response effort that we didn't anticipate, meaning the type.
Yeah. I mean, because you wouldn't think that right away, but yes, that is a crisis.
Exactly. That is definitely a crisis, especially with that unexpected nature of it and how many people it impacts. And so what that crisis response looks like is going to be different based on the situation and the need. Like I said, we're not going to come in and try to do the Red Cross's job at a natural disaster, but we can come in and do whatever else might be needed, you know, just tending to people right on the spot who may need someone who can care for them and give them some empathy and support or provide resources or whatever we can do. And so as organizations are aware of crises that happen, we're able to say, okay, what do you need that you don't already have? And how can we help you? Okay. And then we connect with our community caregivers that we're in relationship with and say, this is the situation. Are you able to volunteer and to come help us mediate this crisis and get people connected into resources?
I remember we were talking about resilience. So resilience, okay, so I'm trying to figure out how, because I feel like crisis response has something to do with resilience. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
You are correct. with crisis response, so they're really the strengths that we have here at the Trauma Healing Center. Uh-huh. We're very diverse in what we manage, but our two biggest strengths is going to be building resilience, which is the ability to bounce back from something that's difficult. Okay. And then trauma-informed care, which is how you manage the difficult thing.
Okay.
So we want to be able to manage the difficult thing, heal from it, have resilience, and bounce back from it.
Okay.
Be able to engage back into regular life. Yeah. And so with crisis response, it certainly connects with both of those things because you want someone to have that capacity, that resilience, to be able to say, I went through this really hard thing, but I overcame it.
Yes. So, and then on the crisis response, it seems like even to the agency level, the personal level, all of this, the Trauma Healing Center is a strategic partner for these organizations so that they are working with you and you have multiple partners that you understand or are attached.
Exactly. Strategic partner is a great term for that because we do want to be strategic and we, again, don't want to reinvent the wheel if somebody else is already doing it. That's great. But if you have a gap, then let's see if we can figure out who can fill it.
Yes.
If we can't find someone, then we'll do our best to do it.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before we conclude, I'd like to talk about, is there any needs that the Trauma Healing Center has, any resources that it needs, or, you know, maybe some volunteers that it needs? Is there anything that the Trauma Healing Center has a need of?
I think every organization has needs. So for sure, our website is traumahealingcenterkc.com.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. And on there, we have a little tab called Get Involved. So that has our three needs on there. The first one is prayer, always. We really want to just break down so many of the walls and misconceptions and trauma things in our city. And that can only happen through prayer. That can only happen as we kind of unite to agree. You know, we didn't talk about this yet, but one of our goals in our vision statement is actually that Kansas City would be a known resource for healing trauma locally, nationwide, and abroad.
Awesome. Yes.
Right now, we're known for a lot of bad things. There's a lot of trauma that happens in Kansas City, and we're a hub for things that are devastating.
Yes.
And we want to flip that on its head and just be a hub for healing.
Yes.
To do that, we have to have prayer. We have to have people that are praying, not just for the Trauma Healing Center, but for everyone that's doing the work of healing in our area. One of the prayers that I've been praying lately is that God would just water all of the seeds of faith that have been planted all over our community.
Yes.
And just bring forth growth and prosperity and healing for all of the healing agencies that are working so hard. And so prayer is just the number one factor behind that. Our second thing is volunteers. Most everything we do is volunteer-based. So when we go out and meet with the community, we need somebody that can run our product table when we're doing trainings and when we're doing public speaking and events like that. We need people that can come here to our community and training center and be on the hospitality team, greet people on our open house days. We really need someone to come and manage our library. We have a lot of books and they are not organized at all. We just got them up here in the last couple weeks. And I look over there occasionally, and then I just look away. Like the Lord will send someone.
There's a resource.
That's right. There's a resource. Go find it over there. Somebody that can manage some of the gardening issues outside. We just have a lot of areas of service for volunteers. And then, of course, when it comes to things like our crisis response and some of our efforts, rather helping agencies, we can use professionals who can volunteer their time and come in and say, hey, I can give a couple hours for this
yes,
month.
Absolutely.
So volunteers are important. And then our funding is all donation based. And so that there's a link on the website for the funding as well to keep
things
going.
Is that their third need then would be?
Yeah, that would be the third need would be donations.
Donations. Absolutely. And so you, as you already said, the website is the traumahealingcenterkc.com. And so that's very easy, people. traumahealingcenterkc.com. To go find, and the, like you said, the three needs are already on there as the get involved, right? Mm-hmm. Underneath the get involved tab.
Exactly.
Prayer, volunteers, and donation resources.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. We do offer several of our training videos that I mentioned earlier. We have those on a YouTube channel that I manage, and you can find the link to that at melissafinger.com.
Oh, cool.
And some of them we have handouts for that okay. kind of go along with the training video. And so if you watch that cool. and find a video that you're like, hey, this is something that my staff needs to know.
Yeah.
Most of them are not very long. You can watch that, email us, and we'll see if we have a handout that we could email you to go along with it.
That's great. So thank you so much for being on the Joy Valley podcast.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure and an honor, and I look forward to hearing more of your podcasts and all that you're doing to just, you kind of have a similar mission of bringing this awareness and connection in the community. And so we're very happy to partner with you.
Thanks again to Melissa for a great interview. What an incredible and needed organization. To learn more about the Trauma Healing Center in Kansas City, go to www.traumahealingcenterkc.com. The three needs are, please pray, get involved, and give financially to help propel this mission forward. Thanks for listening. Thanks again for joining us for another Joy Valley podcast. Please consider partnering with the Joy Valley Mission to discover Christian ministries in Kansas City focused on trauma and emotional healing. If you would like to partner with us, please go to www.patreon.com/Joy Valley. Thank you so much.